from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That one trailed left field. Swanson unloads. Gone! Dansby Swanson, a grand slam, and the Cubs have opened it up here in Pittsburgh. It is 11-2.
Get that man a tomato sandwich.
Dansby goes deep, and the Cubs break it wide open.
Tomato sandwich, there you go. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. And we're delighted to welcome in Taylor McGregor. She joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Taylor does a great job on the Marquee Sports Network. They're a fine reporter. And, man, they were running the bases yesterday, Taylor. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it was really fun to see. I think they definitely saw something on the base pass that they were able to take advantage of. That it was great. It was an exciting game all around between the grand slam that you guys played and then all the running around the bases. It's kind of become this identity, especially with Pete Crow Armstrong at 8-9, and it's fun.
It is fun. Pete Crow Armstrong's had quite a week of fun. He had the inside the park homer in 14 seconds. And then he hit another long one in the second deck in Miami. Now 3 stolen bases last night. Taylor, everybody understands the effect he can have on the lineup. I'm curious, a rookie like that with his enthusiasm and personality, what effect does he have in the clubhouse?
You know, the way Creed Council describes Pete Crow Armstrong is he's sort of everybody's little brother. And he's so likable. I would say he's lovable. He's so lovable. Everybody really has just put their arm around him and embraced him on this team. And the cool thing about PCA is he has the humility to ask questions, even though his skill set is different than anybody else's on the team. But, you know, he wants to be a part of what everybody's doing, and he's still asking all these questions, how to get better. And I think we've seen that not only, you know, in his base running this year. He's always been a fast guy, but I think the work he put in the offseason to get really good at base running has showed. And then the offense, as of late, you know, Dansby Swanson said it postgame, he's been so impressed with the way that PCA has continued to ask all the right questions, to sit in on the hitters' meetings, and really be curious about what the other guys are doing. And I think it's paid dividends for what we've seen on the field as of late.
It was interesting that Craig Counsell was asked, when's he moving up to the top of the lineup? And how quickly will that happen? And he talked about speed being important, but not essential. It's on base that matters most at the top of the lineup. And that, you know, he didn't reject the idea that eventually it would happen, but he also didn't kind of say we're moving him there next week.
Well, I think when you look around Major League Baseball, this is not just the Cubs, the trend around Major League Baseball, you put your best hitters at the top of the lineup. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw Mike Trout hitting number 2, you know, and that was kind of, everybody at first when that happened a couple of years ago was like, what's going on? But you realize those orders come, or those spots in the lineup come up the most. And so you want your best hitters to get the most plate appearances. And with all due respect to Pete, he's not the best hitter on the team yet. Mm-hmm. And so you have, like, with Ian Happ, the way he's been swinging it, and then you have some of the other really good hitters, Michael Bush at the top, those are the guys you want the most at bat. So that's the reasoning behind that. You know, the old school mentality and what Craig Counsell said is everybody thinks, oh, the leadoff guy needs to get on and steal bases. Well, that's not really the way that the game's viewed anymore and what they believe is the best thing to help a team win. So that's the reasoning behind that. But look, I think the way that Pete is growing as a hitter, there will be a day when he is probably at the top of the lineup if he continues to progress offensively.
The other A at the bottom of the lineup, Miguel Amaya, has been a different catcher since July 3rd, since he dropped the leg kick for a toe tap. We know all about the mechanical difference that he changed that he made. I just wonder, Do you think it's changed the way the Cubs view him long term? And how would you describe just his change, not only his effectiveness, but maybe his demeanor?
Yeah, I would say I don't know how it changed the way that you view the catching position moving forward, because I think anybody who's been around the game long enough knows that you always have to take into consideration sample size. And the reality is it's only been about a month and a half of this change. Is it sustainable? We don't know. The hope certainly is there. I would say with Miggy, I've noticed a little bit more confidence in him, and that comes with production. There's no doubt about it. But look, I think he deserves a ton of credit. And I asked Gensby this last night on our post-game show, how hard it is to make an adjustment like that at the major league level in the middle of the season. Like, we don't sometimes give players enough credit for doing these types of things. And for Miguel to take a couple days off, grind in the cage for those days to make this adjustment, and then come back, see results, stick with it, while also, oh, by the way, still managing an entire major league pitching staff, like, that's really hard to do. So I think if it's shown anything, it's just his mental fortitude for me. And not that they didn't already know that, but, like, this is a tough kid who can handle a lot, which is really important for any catcher in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it was so much fun yesterday because everybody could run. It didn't matter. And I'm not going to sit here and go after Yasmani Grandal, but he was overmatched. And I mean, didn't Bellinger steal third at one point? It just felt like anybody on the base path was going to get an extra base.
Yeah, and look, credit to the Cubs for knowing that and exploiting that. And, that's what you have to do in this game. You have to know the tendencies of the other teams and be able to take advantage. And that's what I will say. When I was thinking about this last night, that's what I also love about all the new rule changes, like the action we're seeing on the base path. It's so fun for the game. I saw it last night. I mean, it was an explosion of offense. But, like, that game early was really exciting because of all of the base stealing. And if I'm Major League Baseball, like, that's what I want if my product is excitement like that. So, it's been, like, credit to the Cubs, but also it's been fun just around the game, the amount of base stealing we've seen.
Got to ask this, though, because it was no fun for the Pirates. I just wonder, on a night where your opponent scores 18 runs, was there anybody in the Pirate clubhouse or anything that you heard after the game where it was like, they stole 8 bases, they scored 18 runs. What, did they really need to steal 8 bases on us?
Well, I also think those 8 bases came the majority early on in the game before the score had gotten totally lopsided.
Right,
because on our broadcast, we did talk about that. Like, if they try to score, or if they try to steal bases now, you think there's going to, you know, people are going to have some problems with that. And they didn't. So I think it was just the timing of the game. And, yeah, it was what it was.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So Taylor, you know, the problem with the Cubs, as we've discussed here on this show, is that for whatever reason, there are these offensive lapses. Certainly yesterday was fantastic, but they have struggled to put together kind of sweeps of opponents because they'll have a game where they're not scoring runs or where they will kind of be stymied a little bit in terms of their offense. Do they have any deeper understanding of that? And listen, Paul Skenes is pitching on Wednesday. I don't expect them to get 18 on Wednesday, but it's great when you explode with all these runs. But, you know, you kind of wonder, can't you just hold back 3 of them or 4 of them for tomorrow?
Well, that's the problem with the hole that the Cubs have dug themselves in, is they force themselves themselves to have to get sweeps in order to make up serious ground in the standings. And the reality with the way that Major League Baseball is constructed is sweeping teams is really, really hard, because usually you have to face an ace of the staff or, you know, one of their top pitchers during the course of a series. And I think that's what you've seen with some of these recent, you know, series, is they put together some really good games and then they face a really good pitcher, which happens. So, I said this last night, I thought the numbers in August have been encouraging slug-wise. They're fourth in baseball in slugging in the month of August, which was a problem early. So I think the offense has been doing its part as of late. But you sometimes got to give credit to the other pitching staff. And it's really, really hard to sweep teams in this game. And unfortunately, that's the position the Cubs have put themselves in. But it's also, you got to remember how good the other teams are, too.
Taylor, was a surprise to hear that Drew Smyly was being released, or eventually that's where this is headed. I wonder what the players thought about that, if you got a sense of that post-game. We heard from Craig Counsell, but not much from Craig Counsell, because it didn't seem like he had much to offer. How would you describe the mood or the reaction to Drew Smyly being let go?
Yeah, so Craig had nothing official to say. I still have not been told officially. Drew was in the clubhouse last night, so there was no real reaction. I guess I'll keep you posted on that, so I don't really have anything to say there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've seen a couple of moves now in the bullpen, and I think it's just kind of what happens at the end of a season if it looks like you're not going to be able to make a run, right? So it's good to get to 500, but, you know, make it difficult for them to make a decision would be kind of the answer.
Yeah. And look, Jed's got to make decisions that are smart for not only right now, but for the future as well.
Right,
so
right.
I'm sure that's the focus.
So what is the overall mindset of the Cubs? Because one day they're in, the next day they're not. We have a daily referendum on whether or not the Cubs are going to be able to compete for the final wild card spot. It's like a division. There's like these four teams between the Cubs, or before you get to the third wild card spot, and the Cubs are in last place. Can they climb through the three other teams to get to that point? What is your sense, and how are the Cubs handling this day-to-day uncertainty?
I think the mindset is win today. You know, it can feel overwhelming, and you don't know what could happen if you start looking at the big picture. And so when I've asked guys about it, the only thing they say is we have to win today. And then you focus on winning tomorrow and then the day after that. But to get caught up in the big picture when you don't know what the other teams are going to do can get kind of silly and, you know, can maybe get you in a space mentally that you don't want to be as a player. Now, us fans, that's what we do. But for the players, it's really just let's show up and win today and then win tomorrow and see where that takes us.
Great stuff. Taylor, thank you. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate you jumping on with us.
Thanks, Taylor.
Oh, of course. Of course. Talk to you guys later.
That is Taylor McGregor from the Marquee Network and Jones today. Jared Jones going for Pittsburgh.
He's
against,
good.
Against Justin Steele. He's also good.
He's
and then
very good, too.
Hendricks against Paul Skenes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying, it's hard to steal eight bases if you can't get eight guys on base.
You better win today.
Yeah.
You better win today because tomorrow seems like a mismatch.
Right. Even with Yasmani Grandal, if you can't get on
he's
base.
He's just a man, David. Okay? Just a man. He puts his pants on the same way we
do.
Paul
Skenes?
Yeah. Okay. He's been touched this year.
Oh, we're going to get back to this.
He's been touched.
All right.
Okay.
I know he's just a man. He's a man who throws 100 miles per hour a lot.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.